Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Shad here, your hosts on this weekend show, as well as your hosts on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Well, this week, lots to talk about outside of some inflation data that we had, simply because a lot of eyes are still on the U.S. banking system after the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, as well as a couple other smaller banks that went down shortly after Silicon Valley Bank. And one thing that we have seen is a lot of people, it looks like, shifting money into some of the larger banks in the U.S. It's a much broader topic to discuss just how fractured the U.S. banking system is with all these small and medium-sized banks spread around. Something that, you know what, we will touch on this weekend show, but we're going to try to take a little step away from just talking about the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, because we covered it a lot this week in our daily editorials. We are kicking off the show with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at The Money Show. Now, Mike, look, let's start with the banking system and discuss the Fed's and the government's reaction to quickly shore up some cash to really make depositors whole at these banks. The markets, they were a bit shaky, but they didn't go through anywhere near the type of collapse that we have seen during other, I guess, banking failures. Before we get into some of the nuances here, Mike, what's your takeaway from the stability of the U.S. banking system and the collapse of a couple banks?
Yeah, you gotta love talking on days like this where there's nothing going on, right? Nothing interesting and all of that. No, I'll tell you, what a roller coaster week or so it's been here. In all markets. I mean, obviously, we talked quite a bit going back to a year and a half, almost 2 years, about all the ridiculousness going on in the tech sector and all these garbage money losing companies that were raising money in the IPO market. How it reminded me a lot of the .com bubble, and I had warned that this is going to blow up in our faces. You want to be completely avoiding that junk. And ultimately, you know, what happens in that sector is going to have broader economic implications in terms of hiring and firing decisions and parts of the stock market that are losing value and so on. But, you know, what we're seeing now is kind of the ongoing fallout from that trend. And I say that because look at the types of banks that have failed here. They are enormously tech-centric, crypto-centric. They're very tied to those kinds of bubble sectors of the market that had been doing very well back then and have been rolling over, you know, and on death's doorstep ever since. So, you know, just like in the mortgage crisis, it was those subprime lenders that were the first to blow up because obviously they were the most leveraged to house prices and mortgage activity. You're seeing the tech-focused banks, Silicon Valley and Signature and crypto-focused bank and so on, that are having the worst fallout here. So, you know, it's all tied to that big trend, even though sometimes at first blush it doesn't seem that way. That being said, you know, I certainly wasn't out there naming, I think Bank X is going to fail or Bank Y is going to fail and it's going to happen in 48 hours. I mean, I'm somewhat surprised by the speed of this process because, again, one thing that's very different about this banking crisis that we're facing now is that the assets that are causing the problem aren't a bunch of junk securities. It's mostly mortgages and, you know, MBS and treasuries these banks own. It's the poor interest rate risk management that happened there. So it's not like last time where they owned a bunch of garbage bonds that as soon as house prices rolled over and people started defaulting, the junk underlying the bonds was bad. These are largely credit good bonds, but if you don't hedge your interest rate risk and you have Jay Powell on the warpath and hiking rates at a faster pace and by a greater magnitude than any time in four decades, you know, that's gonna cause chaos in sector or in banks that are overloaded with interest rate risk. And that's what we're seeing here. So, you know, that's what's causing this, the spillover. I mean, you can see it spilling over into the dollar, spilling over into precious metals, obviously equities with the, you know, the banking sector getting crushed here. It's very much underscoring, I think, the, or going back to the whole thing that with every Fed hiking cycle, going back decades, what always happens, right? Something blows up. And that's, you know, a technical Wall Street term I'm using there, of course. I mean, something blows up. Whether in this cycle, we're now seeing banks blow up, which means basically the market knows the Fed hiking cycle, if it's not already done, it's going to be done very soon. You know, they're throwing out, several days ago, there was this blather about the Fed going 50 basis points the next meeting. You know, I said that wasn't going to happen because some of the economic data, the labor data, the inflation data appears to be rolling over. I certainly didn't know a day or two later that you were going to have these rolling bank failures. But I think for economic reasons, the Fed cycle was already almost done. You add this credit crisis stuff on top of that, the Fed cycle is probably done. Maybe they squeeze out one more 25-bit move, but that's probably about it. And that's what that's what you're seeing in the dollar, because it's not just the U.S. Fed that may get spooked by this, since Credit Suisse over in Europe is having issues. There's talk the ECB may have to short circuit its hiking cycle, and that's why you have this sort of weird dynamic where both the dollar and precious metals, the U.S. dollar price of gold, are soaring.
Well, Mike, let's dig into that a little bit more, because up until today, where the Credit Suisse information was released, and they plunged by about 16% today, which got everybody even more spooked about the banking situation over in Europe, in addition to the United States. It was that the dollar was pulling back and rates were pulling back, and we saw the precious metals, you know, kind of plowing higher, and people were putting a bid into bonds. People were buying bonds as more of a safe haven. Now we've seen that reverse, where the dollar is also turning around and going up in tandem with the other two safe havens. And we also saw the yen pick up a little bit as a safe haven currency. So it does see that the markets are getting more defensive in nature because of this banking issue. And as you mentioned, it seems a lot of it is due to bad interest rate management within their balance sheets. And so because the long end of the yield curve was actually lower than the short end, it kind of screwed up their whole lending policy of, you know, doing deposit products and CDs and things based on the short end of the yield curve, and doing the loans and the mortgages based on the long end. Now that got flipped on its head with an inverted yield curve, do you think that this is a delayed effect we're seeing from this Fed rate hiking cycle? As you mentioned, it may be getting near its end, but are there other banks that are potentially at risk with toxic assets on their balance sheets?
You know, I think definitely this is kind of more of your traditional poor hedging, poor decision making, poor asset liability management, whatever kind of jargony term you want to use. It's just, I think the takeaway here for investors is that you can't have rates rise this fast, this furiously, without it causing casualties somewhere in the financial system. I mean, you know, this was a move on par, again, with what we haven't seen since the early 1980s. You know that even well-managed banks are going to have issues with that. I mean, the FDIC, I forget what the exact number was, but there's hundreds of billions of dollars of unmarked losses on bank balance sheets because banks own a bunch of treasuries, they own a bunch of mortgage-backed securities that have long durations, which is simply a fancy way of saying, you know, for every 1% increase in interest rates, you're going to lose X dollars or X percentage points on your bonds. Durations is a measure of interest rate risk. So with a lot of long duration assets on balance sheets, with interest rates rising so much, the value of those plunges. So, you know, it's kind of, you can think of it in non-jargon terms as a homeowner, as mortgage rates do what they've done, which is more than double in the U.S. in the last year, year and a half. What happens? The amount that somebody can pay for your house plummets because they can't afford as much of a monthly payment. Or, you know, the implied value of your house, I should say, because obviously until something sells, it doesn't lower that. But if, you know, your house theoretically is worth $400,000, but because interest rates spike, somebody can only afford to pay $300,000 for your house. The same thing happens to bonds. When interest rates spike, the previously owned bonds lose value, just like a house loses value, just like other assets lose value. So that's what you have going on. You know, you're finding out where the bodies are buried. And this is, you know, this is par for the course at the end or very close to the end of Fed hiking cycles.
All right, Mike, we'll wrap it up here. Mike, thank you as always for your time. It's great chatting with you. We'll chat with you in a couple weeks. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thank you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these next two segments, we are chatting with Rick Bensignor, president of Vencenior Investment Strategies. Rick writes the institutional newsletter, supposedly Irrelevant Factors. This is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail and individual side for all of you, Rick writes in The No Trader, as well as a piece called 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs, all with the goal to beat the S&P. Now, Rick, as we usually do, we'll jump around from sector to sector and market to market to get your outlooks and your trading strategy on each. But before we get into specific market moves, we do have to address the banking system issues that we are seeing in the U.S. The Fed, the government, even other large banks had to step in this week and last week to help out the lenders, or actually the depositors, as well as some of the other banks. We've had a couple banks go under due to some bad investments. And, hey, look, we're hearing a lot of, let's say, more bearish calls. A lot of people saying this could be the start of a bigger collapse. This is showing two true cracks in the system. Rick, I have to ask you, what's your takeaway from the issues we're seeing in the banking system, and if this truly is the start of something much bigger and worse?
Well, the answer, as far as I'm concerned, Corey, is going to be dependent upon if we break beneath last Friday's close in the S&P of 3862. As we record this on Friday, the S&P right now is down about 40 points or so, just about 3920. So we still have roughly 60 points of playroom, which I don't think is likely going to occur between now and today's close. But what's interesting is still last week, or this Friday, today's close relative to last Friday's close is likely going to be a higher close. Therefore, if next week we break underneath there, especially by next Friday's close, 3862, I think then that does open the door for the bigger down move that certainly more and more people are calling for. But until that happens, the levels that we've been playing so far this year, which is 41.48 on the top, where we turned negative in early February, and 38.64 on the bottom, which was essentially last week's close, have been the levels that have contained the rally and the decline. And so right now, I think we're still in a trading range, a slight negative bias because of the macro news. But the market's been able to absorb a heck of a lot of selling that took place early this week, and we're still holding above that 38.64 level. So when you can see a market absorb the selling like we've seen and still stay above a potential support level, that shows that there really are buyers on this pullback, and those who have kind of panicked out have now actually are walking around with losses. And I think that even led to some of yesterday's rally in the market, is the people who sold closer to 3,800 earlier this week are scampering to, you know, to cover those shorts or sales that were at too low levels. So the bottom line for me is the confirmed bulls and the confirmed bears have yet to been proven right this year. And right now, those who are more shorter term oriented and trading the market and trading the ranges have much more profit to show. Neither bulls nor bears who are confirmed and bigger picture bulls and bears have anything to show for this year. Traders do. And I'm going to kind of stick with that scenario until and if we break under 3860. So last Friday's close was 3862. So I'll use that as my reference level. And if we get a Friday close underneath that, then we up the odds for a move down towards the low 3500s, which is essentially a test of last year's low.
So, Rick, this behavioral finance component, I've always found interesting in what you do. And I think this year, out of any, and I guess we can even go back to last year, has been a wake-up call for some people, because behavioral finance understands that people don't make rational decisions. Markets don't always move in rational ways. Do you think that there's always going to be permabears, permabulls? You're always going to have those people. Do you think after this last year and a quarter that the permabulls, they're dissipating? Have they had enough of a wake-up call to start maybe trending back to the middle?
I'd say perhaps they're starting, Corey, but there's a long way to go before they actually eat the food and become non-bulls. Doesn't mean they become outright bears, but there's so many investors are so ingrained that you buy the dips and you'll do fine if you just hold over time. And that's correct. If you have a 20-year time horizon, a 30-year time horizon, if you're a 25-year-old, a 35-year-old, and you're talking about investing in your 401k or some type of, you know, IRA retirement plan, well, heck, it doesn't matter if the market sells off for 3 years now. 4 years from now, you'll be just fine. It's people who aren't necessarily long-term investors. If you're a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old, a 70-year-old, you have to think very differently. And when you go through a tightening period like we're in now, where the Fed makes it extremely clear what they're doing, and they keep saying rates higher for longer, they can't be more clear. I got to give Chair Powell credit. He has been very upfront with what the Fed's intentions are, as best he can without giving away every bit of information, which, you know, he's not going to do. But the basic higher for longer is a clear message of what their intent is to fight inflation. And even though we've had some macro events that in the last week or two have brought rates down very quickly, that is not necessarily going to alter the Fed. Now, there's a Fed rate decision next Wednesday. Might they pause instead of having, you know, continually raise 25 or 50 bips? That may happen, but in the bigger overall picture, they need inflation to still come down well lower than it is, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that their mandate of full employment and low interest rates is going to be achieved. So there are clear times in the marketplace that simply playing the bullish stance doesn't work. And when you tune into any of the major business TV stations or radio stations, and you hear these permabulls telling you every single time they're on TV why to be bullish, and yet the market went from 4,800 at the beginning of 2022 to where it is now, with a swing down to 3,500 along the way, and all they do is keep telling you buy, buy, buy. These are people who have not woken up to the fact that there is a major shift that has occurred in the marketplace, fueled by the Fed and by the higher interest rate environment.
Very true, Rick. Big shift in these markets. Last year should have been a wake-up call. This year, though, markets at least have remained somewhat range-bound, but it sounds like you're still looking for kind of the lower end of that range. Everyone, we're going to be right back with Rick Bensinger. We're going to keep talking markets, get into some other sectors.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Biden wants lawmakers to give the FDIC more power to punish bank executives who need a government bailout. But California Congressman Ro Khanna told Breitbart that even without such action, the managers at Silicon Valley Bank are in big trouble.
The people who are going for the management and the executives at Silicon Valley Bank their careers are ruined, as they should be. They're facing investigations by the SEC, by the Department of Justice. They're probably never going to get another job again.
The banking problems are continuing to weigh on Wall Street. President Biden's son Hunter has filed a counter-lawsuit against the Delaware computer repairman who triggered the laptop controversy. Biden's suit challenges whether or not John Isaac followed state law when determining the laptop was abandoned. And former President Trump is back on a few more social media outlets. YouTube and Facebook have both reinstated Trump. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. As promised, we are still chatting with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Just as a quick note for everyone listening on the radio, this whole interview with Rick goes over 35 minutes. Unfortunately, on the radio, for these two segments, we have under 20 minutes. So I've had to cut down and split up some of this interview. If you do want to hear the full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com, or podcast the KE Report. Rick will be featured in segments 2 and 3. Now, Rick, let's get into the precious metals, because, look, precious metals have been a big beneficiary of these banking issues. You have been playing the long side of gold ever since that false breakdown in Q4 of last year, and now gold is looking like it's about to test some of those highs from this year around 1975. How are you playing the gold market?
So we continue to be long gold. We bought the pullback a week and a half ago. We got long between 1860 and 1810. So we very nicely bought into that pullback. Spot gold on COMEX is at 1982. And I think there's a good chance here gold actually pushes to all-time highs. So I like gold. I think that, you know, better to have bought it a week ago, certainly than now. But I do think that this could be the catalyst for gold to get all-time highs. So I don't mind still looking for some pullbacks to get long. I don't know if you're going to get anything substantial now. And we've certainly gone from the false breakdown all the way back towards, we're not quite there yet, but we're towards the top end of the whole trading range and the all-time highs in gold. But I think if you look at how fast gold went from the false breakdown low of, let's say, just about 1620 to the high that we made earlier this year at 1975, that's a $350 move. If you add $350 onto the recent low and you're at 1825, that gets you, what, 2175. So certainly new all-time highs, just on what we would call equal legs up. The thrust higher, the pullback, and an equal thrust higher gets you between 2150 and 2175. So I'm a fan of gold. And I think once you get up there, if it can build a base above $2,000 an ounce, then gold really has some room to go over time. And then that also probably means that Bitcoin does. And Bitcoin, you know, has traded perfectly technically recently. It got up to 25,000, which was the high from last summer, the August high. Pulls back, fills the gap a week ago, week and a half ago, and then screams to the upside this week. So Bitcoin's going to be much harder to trade. I actually did a webinar this morning, and, you know, I was saying that as far as I'm concerned, the easy money has been made in Bitcoin since that FTX news essentially made the low. That week that the FTX news came out last fall made the low for the move. It never took out that low. So to me, the more that low held, the more Bitcoin was a buy. And, you know, we got to that $25,000 level, pulls back to the gap that we said it would fill before moving higher again. But now between 25,000 and, let's say, about 33,000, you've got a whole bunch of resistance from the major breakdown that occurred previously. And it's going to be much harder putting on longs and trying to make money now than it has been in the past. But if you're thinking of gold and Bitcoin kind of in the same type of alternative investment arena, kind of the hedge play against bigger difficulties in the general marketplace, I'd like them both, but I'd rather be in gold than Bitcoin.
Well, Rick, I'm sure some of our listeners will appreciate those thoughts on both gold and Bitcoin. But one other market we should make a note of that's been going through its own trials and tribulations is the energy space. What do you make of oil and nat gas, but in specific oil? It's had a big move down. It's now in the mid-60s, Rick.
Yeah. So it's bounced a bit. Today we got as low as 65.40 or so, and we're at 66.85, so $1.40 or so off the lows right now. And there is support in the 66 handle. That's a level I identified 2 months ago as a potential downside target. So the biggest thing to me in the oil market, there's two conflicting things right now. On the bullish side, we know that the government has told us that they're going to replenish the strategic oil reserves in the oil market probably between in and around the mid-60s to $70 range. So we're in a place here that there is going to be some real buying to stem some of the decline. At the same time, up until a week ago, the oil market had gone absolutely nowhere for 6 months, and more specifically, since the beginning of this year. If you're an oil trader, you'll know what I'm talking about here, but in the futures market, and of course oil is a heavily traded futures contract, the open interest of contracts had increased over 300,000 contracts between January 1st and, let's just call it, mid-March, when oil had moved nowhere. That is a 23% increase in commitments to a market that hadn't budged, which means you've got 300,000 new bulls and 300,000 new shorts. Now, it's not individual people, but it's contracts committed to in a market that didn't move. Once a new move started, it would probably get exacerbated because you have so many new commitments in the market over the last 3 months that are going to be on the wrong side of the move. The move down in oil that we're seeing that's kind of taking place this week that breaks underneath all prior lows over the last 6 months should really crack the market. And if it wasn't for the strategic oil reserve replenishing, I think oil could be down to $60 already. If you hadn't seen an increase in open interest, it wouldn't have mattered as much. But because so many new players came in the first 3 months of this year, making a bet either bullishly or bearishly, once you break the trading range, let's just say half those people are on the wrong side. And that's going to exacerbate the move. So not only is oil trading on a 3 month low, it's trading more than on a 6 month low down here. That you would think is going to wash out a heck of a lot of longs in the market. And like I said, we'd probably be down much more sharply if it wasn't for the government doing some buying here. In that 7-Eleven report that you mentioned at the top of the show, which is my attempt to beat the S&P by being in no more than 7 of the 11 macro sectors at any given time, we lowered our exposure to oil down to the lowest level we've had 2 months ago. We're down to 7% versus a 5% benchmark. We had been over either 10 or we certainly were at 10%, and maybe even for 1 month might have been at 12% exposure to oil. So we have been very, very big oil bulls since the summer of 2021 is when we first turned bullish oil. So we kind of caught very close to the all-time bottom in oil versus the S&P, in energy versus the S&P, and we rode it until earlier this year where we started trimming, and then we trimmed a little more in February and a little more in March. And I think, you know, we've kind of got that right, but I am just going to continue watching it because we know the government is a buyer in here. And look, politics aside, you got to give some credit to the Biden administration, who sold oil near $100 and is replenishing it near $65. That's as good a trade as anybody's ever going to make in the business. I still give credit where credit's due, and I can give credit to the Biden administration for doing this. So kudos to them for at least getting this particular trade right and helping Americans kind of have a good thing happen in the sense that they're replacing $100 oil at much lower prices. So that's a good thing. And, you know, I'm somewhat concerned about energy going forward, but we've got to see what happens with oil here in the mid-60s and whether or not you still get a move down and whether or not at this point you can get itself above 75 or not.
All right, Rick, we are out of time. Great comments, and always, and some very good trades that you have put on recently. You've been sharing them all with us, and boy, do we appreciate that. Rick, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
All right, welcome back. We are now, as promised, shifting our focus more to the energy sector as we are chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report. Also writes the Eye on Energy, which is a free report that covers more of the fundamentals, the data that comes out of the oil and gas sector. Now, Joseph, we are recording this on Wednesday, as we usually do, and it's a good day to be chatting because crude is down almost $5. It was down $5 earlier today, down in the $66 region. Now, last time we had you on, about a month ago, you were saying you were waiting for a breakdown into the $60 area or the mid-60s that would trigger a lot of buy signals. Let's first just talk about why oil is dropping so much just in the last week or so, when oil was right up around that $80 level, then has just kept on moving, and on this Wednesday, a big move down. Is it all related to the banking system here, Joseph, or is there something else going on within the oil sector that's almost causing this perfect storm to pull the oil price down?
Well, we've been talking for a while that inventories were building in the U.S., over the last 2 months, 3 months maybe. We've also been talking about demand in the U.S., which is the biggest consumption market in the world, being down from a year ago, and that is clearly the case. It's down 8.7% from a year ago from the EIA data that came out today, Wednesday. And so the reason for weaker prices, and I've been calling for a breach of 70 with a target in the 65-70 level, well, today it cut down to the lower end of that band. I think the low today, and I'm just pulling it out, today's low was 66.07. And so we're looking at bargain levels as stocks get beat up. For example, the TSX Energy Index today is down 8% to 210, and a lot of stocks are down more than 10%. I can see stocks on my computer, down 10, 12, 13% on the low. So it's bargain territory for the oils, for the natural gas stocks, and for the, you know, pipeline infrastructure area. And so we put out 7 ideas today, new recommendations. Remember, in early February, we only had 8 names on our buy list out of the 37 we cover, and we added 7 on Monday, 7 today. So we now have 22 names on the buy list, and I expect we'll probably be sending out one more buy list in the coming days. And that will probably take us to effectively a fully recommended list right across the board, between the largest companies to the smallest, between E&P service and pipeline infrastructure, and all the way from the largest caps in the pipeline infrastructure down to small cap energy and energy service. So we think there's bargains galore, and we're putting out those recommendations. And I'm fully in the bull camp now. I've been cautious for so long, and you've been wondering, am I ever going to be right? And of course, people were doubting that my call was going to come to do, but I kept on looking at the numbers, and, I don't want to use the word as Powell does, Chairman Powell of the Fed, I'm data dependent. But the reality was, the data was clear that prices of oil should not have been at 80. And then, like anything, things go in a pendulum. They go from overvalued to fair value to undervalued. And to me, we're now undervalued.
Well, Joseph, a big hat tip to you for your call, because you just had that last time you came on say that, hey, once this thing breaks 70 and gets down in the mid-60s, some of these buy alerts are going to be coming out from your subscription services and to subscribers, letting them know the deals you see. And it's played out really exactly as you forecasted, just maybe a little quicker than some people expected because of this banking contagion mixed with the big build in oil prices. So when you see the oil stocks and the natural gas stocks take a plummet, you're using this as a good bargain hunting area. Is there any risk that some of the stocks still haven't priced in this lower move yet? And would you be waiting for certain levels in some of them before scaling in? Or do you think that enough of the carnage has already happened, and in a lot of these companies, it's really a pretty good spot to at least start getting an initial stake going?
Well, if you remember in March of 2020, how quickly it fell. And it was like, it was a plunge. We saw that in 87. We saw that in almost every 08, 09. Stocks just plummeted within a week or two, if you remember how deep the decline was. So you almost have to just pick a place and say, this is a bargain level. And that's what we're doing. And that's why we're scaling in, not in terms of the amount per name, but we're adding names on a scale and basis. So we added 7 on Monday, 7 today. I expect in the next few days we'll add another 5 or 6. So if people should make the decision, we said to them, pick the names you like and have your buy list ready. And when we send out the action alert buy list, then you can then build your position. So that's what we're recommending to people. This thing could be a V-turn, over the next few weeks. But I still think we're on the down leg of the V. And as I said, I think the Dow's going to break 30,000 and potentially go down to the lows of October. If you remember, that was when we had the spike down in October of thousands of points, and we went down to 28,700.
So, Joseph, if we have that much more downside still to go in, let's say, the Dow or even the broad averages, how much lower could oil go? Could we get into the 50s?
Look, when you have market fear, you never know how low is low. I'm just saying that, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, I'm going to be a happy camper buying stocks at the prices that they're available today. I don't have the foresight to say March 17th is Friday is going to be the low at 10 o'clock in the morning. You just don't know that. And I don't think anybody is going to be that prescient in terms of that. My view is, if they're going to give me the chance to buy a Birchcliff under $8 with a 20-cent quarterly dividend and no debt in the company, and there's no risk to the dividend, I'm getting paid 10%. And if I'm right, the stock could be a $12 stock by the end of the year or a year from now. And, buying it at 8 to 12 plus a 10% yield, that's awesome.
Yeah, Joseph, it is awesome, and a lot of these companies are on bargain sale, and they're quality companies. Let's just say that there's somebody listening to this call, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that may only have limited exposure to the oil and gas sector, or maybe want to increase their exposure. If they were going to build a diversified portfolio, do you have a rough idea of just, and I know it's not the same for every investor, but just a rough idea of how much you would put towards the dividend-paying companies, the larger producers, or the small cap growth stocks, nat gas versus oil? Any idea on how you would structure a portfolio if somebody was going to get into, let's say, 10 names or so?
Well, I think everybody has to decide what their risk profile is and how much energy they want in their portfolio. Some people may, have, let's say, 10 names in their portfolio, so maybe only 2 names or 3 at the most should be appropriate. Others may have 40 or 50 names in their portfolio, and then they may take a different approach. I'm a barbell investor. You know, I've got things, you know, you've got real estate, banking stocks and things like that. But then I have energy. Do I have tech? No. Do I have mining? Very little. You know, do I have, you know, consumer products? No. So each individual has to pick what they want to do. But if they are going to go into the energy sector, if they're conservative and they're dividend focused, there's great bargains between the pipelines, utilities, and the large cap energy, which have dividends, as I mentioned, Birchcliff. And then, you know, for more entrepreneurial investors, if they say, what would you do, Joseph? My view is I want to have exposure to natural gas, to light oil, to the service sector, and to dividend yielding pipeline and infrastructure that can grow their dividends. And so there's names that I would pick in each one, and that's what we've been sending out to our clients, you know, in terms of here's ideas depending upon what size, what market cap you want. Do you need dividends? You know, what are you, the mix that you need? Because every investor is different. And, you know, I may end up with owning 10 or 12 names. You know, I own six right now, and I'll be, and I'm adding to those six. Normally, when we send out action alert buys or sells, we have a 5-day wait rule. So sometime next Monday, I could start buying the lists I sent out Monday. Next Wednesday, I could buy the ones I sent out today. So, you know, I'm thinking of potentially ending up at 10 or 12 names, so double where I am now. But, you know, the names I buy will be a mixture, as I said.
So, Joseph, now that you're getting so bullish and now that companies are reaching those buy signals, give us a little heads up on where our listeners can find your information, please.
Now, if anyone is interested in what we're coming out with our buy ideas and the names there, they need to go to our website, www.schachterenergyreport.ca, and then they can go to the subscription page if they decide that they want to take advantage of the idea flow that we have now.
All right, Joseph, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on the oil and gas sector. We're going to have you on next month. This also wraps up this weekend's edition of the weekend show. I hope everybody enjoyed the crazy week that we just went through and all the comments on this weekend show. Please keep in touch with Shad and I through email. We love hearing from each and every one of you. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.